Good evening, everybody.
Good evening.
Welcome to the fourth and final class of our series on the spiritual disciplines, How God's People Grow. We're really at the end of our third week, so this is in a sense the beginning of the fourth and final week of practicing the disciplines, but it is the last class. Let's just remind ourselves again, because reminders are inbuilt into the Christian life, that's why we take communion every Sunday, to remind ourselves of why we're doing what we're doing and focusing on these spiritual disciplines. This verse in Romans 12, in the Message translation, let's have a look at this together. Take your everyday, ordinary life, and I don't know about you, but I quite often feel life's pretty ordinary a lot of the time. Okay. Take your everyday, ordinary life, your sleeping, eating, going to work, and walking around life, and place it before God as an offering. Embracing what God does for you is the best thing you can do for Him. Don't become so well-adjusted to your culture that you fit into it without even thinking. Instead, fix your attention on God, and I've intentionally highlighted these words, you'll be changed from the inside out. Readily recognize what He wants from you and quickly respond to it. Unlike the culture around you, always dragging you down to its level of immaturity, God brings the best out of you. Develops well-formed maturity in you. Isn't that a super translation?
Yeah.
Just for bringing out the meaning of what Paul's getting at here about where maturity truly comes from, directed by God, but by transforming us from the inside. And I wanted to read this scripture at the beginning of this final class because it summarizes so much of what we're talking about in this series on the spiritual disciplines. It's about opening the door intentionally and willingly and asking God, saying, God, I want you to transform me. I want you to mature me. And I'm willing to use tools that are outside of my comfort zone, not necessarily my preference, and require some sacrifice, some adjustments in the way I live. But I'm going to do it not out of a sense of law or duty. I'm going to do it willingly because I don't want to be molded by the world. I don't want to be like the culture around me. I want to be changed. But recognizing that that change comes from the inside out. We don't put on spirituality. We grow spirituality from inside. So let's remember that as we think about this today, our last class. Not too long ago, what year was this? I think this was certainly in the last few years. A man in China hired some workers to paint a cliff face green. He didn't like the natural colour of it. He claimed that the original white colour affected the feng shui of where he lived. And so he hired five or six men who dangled from safety ropes to put green paint all over this cliff face in Qijiang District. I'm sorry, I'm not pronouncing that right. In Chongqing. Okay, I believe you. Excellent, thank you very much. They painted 2,000 square meters on this 900 meter high cliff. It took them over a week to do it. The person who hired them, he said afterwards, when questioned about it by local journalists, he said, I think the cliff looks good after a coat of paint. What's right or wrong about it? Residents, however, objected to the green makeover. It's definitely not right, they said. The cliff was made this way throughout history. Now it looks terrible after he painted it. It's kind of typical of how we want to change things, but we often focus on the outside, on the appearance, on trying to fix it in a very humanistic way, rather than on a deeper change. There's a distant view of it. It's not the greatest look, in my opinion, but he paid for it, so I guess, you know. But we're not after feng shui changes. We're after heart-level transformation. That's what it's really about here. So I'd like us to take a few moments to reflect on what God has taught us so far, and then we'll come back and do some sharing, like we have done in a week or two ago. Could I ask you to just turn to someone near you, two or three people, maybe four at the most, and talk about these questions. How has the practice of your spiritual discipline that you've chosen, how has it been helping you to grow from the inside out? How has it been changing you internally? Maybe it's been changing you on the outside. The people around you have noticed that you've been more silent than usual, Karen. Or they've noticed that you haven't been eating as much, the fridge has more food in it. Or they've noticed that the bank balance is looking healthier because you haven't been spending so much. Or, I don't know. Maybe they've noticed those outward manifestations, but that's not what we're talking about here. We're talking about how have these things affected you inside. So perhaps we can take a few minutes to that, and if you've got time, to talk about the practice, what it's cost you, and what the benefits have been. But the main question is, how has it been helping you to grow from the inside out? Let's take 7 minutes for that, shall we? I'll time that, and then we'll come back and do a bit of sharing, and I'll have a couple more things to talk about. Okay, find someone to talk to for the next 7 minutes. So, who would like to share about just what you feel like, and again, as I said last week, this is not about boasting, we're not doing that. We're just saying, this is what I believe God's shown me, what God's taught me, and how it's helped me. So, how have practicing the spiritual disciplines helped you to develop and grow and mature from the inside out? What have you discovered over the last 3 weeks or so? Anybody like to share? Tim?
No, I'll share, yeah, I'll just share that. I've learned what a moaner I am. How it's great to celebrate.
It's great.
Grateful. On a moaner.
Becoming more grateful. Less moaning.
Yeah.
Do I need to get corroborating evidence from Chevy that that's true?
I'm not saying anything.
Of course it's true.
She's working on silence.
Thank you very much. Chris?
The biggest thing for me, actually, you can look at it from a different angle, is what has really helped, because silence is something I've wanted to practice for a few years, and I've done it for like maybe 2 or 3 days, and it's just dropped, not made a conscious decision I want to do that anymore, I just forget. So having the church focus on it has really given me the discipline to see it through consistently. And as I was just saying to guys, it's hard to articulate what I'm getting out of it, but I definitely do feel closer to God. And I think it's really that, rather than just giving God a list, focusing on my issues and giving God a list of what I want him to do, I focused a lot on Psalm 23 and just kind of focusing on what God, how he perceives us and how he meets our needs in a general way. It's just given me a real sense of peace.
Nice. Super. Thank you very much. Great. Good. Okay. Tony?
So I've been doing celebration, but not very well. But I think in the last week, the weird turnaround was that when I start, I find it difficult to celebrate, I do definitely, but when I started to try to celebrate, the thing I found was probably being grateful was more. Another bit. Being grateful, but also just, at first my gratitude was, I started comparing myself with other people's situations, and I was grateful, and I thought, that's kind of weird, because I was looking at other people's lives and saying, oh, this isn't so great. I thought, no, that's not right, so then I thought more that it's about being grateful, whether life's good or bad, but also about not being fearful, because when I started to celebrate as well, I started to think, oh no, it'll go wrong, do you know what I mean, sort of thing, it's being happy in the moment.
Great point. I was talking about celebration today with a brother, and we were talking about this, that there's two aspects to celebration in some ways. There's the celebrating the thing that you can identify, this is something good that's happened, or something that clearly God has provided, or you can celebrate something that's not yours, but you've heard about some good news for somebody else. Is that celebration of something very concrete? But there's also a celebration by faith. And right, part of what the Israelites were called to do in their festivals was to celebrate what God had done, but part of it was about looking forward to what God would do.
Wow.
And there's those interesting, there's two aspects of it. Anyway, good, thank you. Okay, some more. Sharon, who'd like to? Yes.
So I mentioned to in our group that I've been focusing on silence, and that I've been finding it challenging, although I didn't get to share this bit, but when we went on holiday, one of the things that I did for the first time in a few years is didn't take my Mac with me, turned off all the work emails, because part of we live in a noisy world,
yes,
whether
do.
It's you know, media, social media, Facebook, the works, kids, well, you know, all of that. But I've realized that I've had to shut things out in order to be silent and in order to give myself the space to be able to think and hear. And sometimes that has been challenging because I want to fill that silence with a question or a conversation rather than just listen.
That's a great point. Seems to me that I don't. Some people think, say, and our world is getting noisier. I'm not sure it's getting noisier, but I think there's more stuff coming at us. Mm. There's more quantity. Because I think in the old days, go back 100 to 200 years, if we lived in an extended family house with like four generations and sheep and goats, and it wasn't quiet.
Yeah.
Right. So I'm not sure it's noisier, but I read somewhere today that they estimate that the amount of information the average person is exposed to now, in the last 5 years, more information has been generated and shared than in the whole of human history before that, the last 5 years. So it's about quantity,
absolutely,
right? And so silence is a way of preventing sensory overload such that we can actually hear something else that's going on inside with God. It's very powerful stuff. Super, thank you. Good. Okay. Penny and I are going away on holiday in 2 weeks' time, so I've already decided I'm not taking my laptop. I have to still decide whether I'm going to take my iPad or not. That's the next level. Pray for me, I'm not quite there yet. I'm not there. I'm not there. Okay, some more sharing. We've got time for... Oh, yeah, we've got time for at least a couple more. Okay, who else would like to share? Yes, Chunty.
So my spiritual... So Nicole and I actually missed the first class of this, so we sort of picked it up quite late. The spiritual discipline I'm working on has also been celebration. I think for me it's been... I almost started to do it before the class even began, but out of necessity. Because as I shared a few weeks ago, so I've had a lot of problems with my shoulder. And so that what comes with that is a lot of chronic pain, it comes up a lot of low feelings and, you know, sort of very negative thoughts and sort of almost depression, essentially. So I found myself needing to start to look on the positive side of things. Mm-hmm. So, and it's not just about the pain, it's about any other thing, you know, girls do well at school, have a good day at my job. Just little things like that, and it's really caused me to kind of look beyond just what I feel, and so it's really helped me to kind of get a lot more grateful, and look at a lot more external things as well. And that's kind of almost, you know, been a positive thing just in terms of the pain as well. So that's been something that's very helpful. You know, there's not been a lot of cost, just the discipline to not get sucked into the easy sort of thoughts of this is so bad, why me, will this be forever, all this sort of thing. So the benefits are, you know, just that gratitude to God for everything else, you know. So it's been very helpful to me.
Thank you. Yeah, thanks for sharing that. I do find that when I consciously set my mind to thanking God, to celebrating, I then find more things to celebrate than I first noticed. So the discipline of beginning it leads to a much better place, which can be very helpful. Good, thank you. One more, if anybody wants to. Yes.
So I was sharing with our group. I chose fellowship, and been getting time with other Christians every week, which is nice, and trying to, but more than just seeing them, trying to make those times spiritually focused. So, you know, talking about how, or sharing about how we're doing in our spiritual lives, and, you know, what challenges there are, what things there are that are going well. And that actually has just spilled over into my normal times with non-Christian friends. So trying to talk about, well, just happening to talk about things like my faith, or talking about why I'm doing something because I'm a Christian. And that actually, well, the benefits are that I'm talking with them about my faith. But then I actually found out that my work has a Christian group off the back of one of those conversations, which I didn't know about, that meet every Monday. So I joined them on Monday, and that was really encouraging, just to have a spiritual conversation in a work context with colleagues who I just wouldn't have thought about. So that's been really amazing.
Isn't it interesting? You don't know where that next thing is going to lead to. But we step out in faith.
And
we see God do something else. That's wonderful. Thank you very much. Well, let's do a couple of things here, and we've done some sharing. Let's pray together for a minute, and then I've got a couple of thoughts just to round things off and give us something to think about as we finish things off here. Could I ask a couple of people, though, to pray for us at this point? Who would like to pray? Two people to pray. Mika and Mohan. There you go. Great.
Oh, Heavenly Father, thank you that we can gather around, Lord, and just stay silent for a while. Pay attention and listen to what you have to say to us, God. Thank you for this class that Malcolm's been preparing, God, and you prepared with Malcolm's hand and computer that he's going to leave behind. Just to help us get more tools in getting close to you, God. Right? And that's what these disciplines are. Disciplines, but they're also ways to you and to ways to realization that there are so many different ways where we concentrate on you and what you have to say to us that we find amazing things just around the corner. But if you didn't stop and listen, God, we'd all be buried in the noise. But thank you for this class. We pray that each and every one of us would have found one that seems reluctant to start, God, but opens up gradually, God. And we hope that that work will continue after this class, God, and that those doors that are now slightly ajar will open, and then we'll let the light in into your wonderful word. God, we do appreciate that you love each one of us, God, as we are, but you also want us to grow. God, help us grow, and help us to help each other in the congregation to talk about these things and just to help each other with our own findings, God, where we've found a nugget, God, is good to share that, God. We love you and pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Father, thank you that we can collectively come into your presence right now. We thank you that, Lord, that you take such interest in our lives and that you love us so dearly. We're so grateful, Father, for having a relationship with you. We totally rely on the righteousness of Christ Jesus. We know that, Father, that, you know, just like Isaiah, you know, we say, whoa, we're people of unclean lips, Father. We're so grateful that that the good work, the Father, that you have started in each of our lives, that you will finish it. We ask that you continue to open our spiritual eyes and give us spiritual wisdom and revelation and understanding and knowledge of you more and more. And we just thank you for Malcolm, Father, just preparing these classes just to help us with these spiritual disciplines. I pray that you help each one of us to put these into practice and just draw closer to you. Father, we know that none of the things of this life can really satisfy us, but only you, God. Help us to know you personally, intimately, more wonderfully, more beautifully. Mm-hmm. You know, just like Enoch, who walked with you and mm-hmm. pleased you. Pray that mm-hmm. we can just do that, Father. Mm-hmm. And we know that, Father, that nothing else can really satisfy our hearts, God. And pray that you would help us do each, help us each with that, and just to bless us with yourself, God. We ask in Jesus' name.
Thanks very much for praying for us, Mika and Mohan. Just to finish off, a couple of thoughts. John 15, verse 2, a passage we're probably familiar with. Jesus says, I am the real vine, and my Father is the farmer. He cuts off every branch of me that doesn't bear grapes, and every branch that is grape-bearing he prunes back, so it will bear even more. There's a lot one could say about this passage, but for tonight and in this context, this implies that the natural state of a Christian is to be ever growing. Always growing, always developing, always maturing. Not always at the same rate, perhaps, but nonetheless, the trajectory of our life is one of growth, maturity, and depth. But that also means an ongoing need for God's pruning. What you could also say is God's discipline. And our cooperation with that is necessary for us to continue to grow, if that's going to happen. This is a photograph of one of the oldest living trees in the world.
Wow.
It's called a bristlecone. And it's in the White Mountains of Colorado, 10,000 feet up. It is 4,600 years old.
Wow.
I can't quite wrap my head around that. It's 4,600 years old. In fact, in that area, there are 17 trees which have been dated over 4,000 years old. So we're talking, it was around when Abraham was a boy. That's what we're talking about. This is an old tree. And the question is, why have they survived so long? Well, you know, how have they continued to live? And it's not because the ground is particularly fertile. It's not rich up there, 10,000 feet up. It's a rocky area, it's very bleached. In the winter, these trees are buried in snow. You can't see them. And they're wind blasted by ice crystals. It doesn't sound very pleasant. In the spring and the summer, they're parched because there's no rainfall to speak of. There's nothing to drink except melting snow, and there are only a very few weeks of the year when growth is possible. Just a short, small window. The trees survive and they grow, not despite the stress, but you could say because of the stress. It's their environment, it's where they are meant to be, and it's how they have survived for thousands of years. They need that environment. I don't know how long you and I are going to live on this earth. We don't know, right? But if we're going to continue to grow the way we're meant to grow, we've got to let God give us the circumstances which are right for us. That's where we will thrive. And for some of us, that means we'll thrive in difficult health circumstances. For some, it'll be difficult financial circumstances. For some, it will be difficult relationship circumstances. For some, it will be difficult emotional, mental health circumstances. If we hold on to God, the spiritual disciplines will enable us to realize and see how God is moving and working and give us strength to handle these challenges. Because they're only going to come. We're not going to avoid them. God knows the right circumstances for us. These bristlecone trees, that's it. Extraordinary trees. So let's make our energy, make sure we've got limited energy, like those trees have very limited energy. Let's make sure our best energies are focused on practicing spiritual disciplines. If they're focused on that, that'll benefit us and keep us strong, moving us closer to God's transformational power. Just to finish up, I'd like us to listen to a song. It's by a Christian songwriter, singer-songwriter Kim Hill. And it's called More Like You. I really like this song. If you've got the words, I've handed them out. If you want to, you might like to close your eyes and listen. Sometimes that can help, or they're on the screen there if you'd rather look there. But the whole song is about becoming more like Jesus. And that's what this whole series is about. And it's what the future is about. It's about being more and more like Jesus. Can we listen to that now, if that's all right? It's on the next slide. So, or it's on this slide, rather. Let's see what happens when I press here.
It's happening.
It's there.
See the waves to surround me.
Whatever you have to do, make me more like you. As a brave and faithful prayer right there. So, what will you take forward from this series? I hope that this won't be just one of those four weeks of classes that we'll say that was good, but there'll be some substantial things that change in our relationship with God, not just now, but as we practice these spiritual disciplines going forward. Take it forward, because this is how God's people grow. Amen.
Amen.